Brian Gordon is the president of Gordon Associates. The website is bestltcplan.com, which is long-term care, if I'm not mistaken. How are you?
Correct. Doing well. Thank you.
How's business?
Business is good. We're busy and getting lots of calls and trying to help a lot of people out.
What's long-term care insurance?
Long-term care insurance basically helps pay for some of the cost of in-home services, assisted living, memory care facilities, adult daycare, and really helps people and their families manage the cost of the expensive cost of care as we live longer and need more of this assistance.
Is this a product category growing because people are living longer these days?
They're living longer. People are starting to experience it a lot more. We're getting a lot of phone calls from 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, helping their parents out or their grandparents out with these problems. So I think people at younger ages are starting to see this impact their families.
Well, at what age should you start to buy that policy? I said earlier, if you're young, maybe you worry that you're too young. You shouldn't be buying it when you're that young. I mean, why waste all that money on those premiums? You're not going to need it for 50 years. But if you're too old, maybe the premium is too high. Talk about that strategy.
So we always talk age is, you know, obviously people would age a lot when you're talking about when looking at long-term care insurance. We look at a lot of times where people are financially in their lives. So we see people ages 35 looking at long-term care insurance all the way up to 65 and 70.
But if you start paying at 35, do you pay for the rest of your natural life? You're paying those premiums?
So when you're getting in that young, we try to design the policies like we did for my wife and I when about 20 years ago when we were 37 and 35. We designed a policy to be paid up in 10 years. So when we're at the younger ages, we look the policies to get paid up in 10, 15, or even 20 years.
Really?
Yes.
What if you're on the other end of the age spectrum? You're 70 years old now. Have you aged out of affordable premiums?
You haven't aged out of affordable premiums. The issue at 70 a lot of times is more with the health. You know, that's something that you really, no matter who you are looking at this type of coverage and who you're working with, the most important part is to share your health information with them, any medications, because health is sort of what dictates things.
Are there some things that will make you ineligible?
There definitely are some things that'll make you ineligible, yes.
Diabetes?
Not necessarily diabetes if it's controlled. If you've got conditions like it could be severe rheumatoid arthritis, we've got calls from people who have early onset dementia, which we know that's obviously not going to be a good risk for us to look at. Then you've got comorbids. You've got heightened weight issues. You've got people who have uncontrolled blood pressure, just a lot of different things.
Well, we've just described 95% of the U.S. population.
So that's why it's important to do your due diligence. We've had people that are 75 years old get through underwriting with no problem, and I've had 45-year-old folks where they've had a heart issue of some sort and they were ineligible.
High blood pressure wouldn't disqualify you, but it might elevate your premium.
High blood pressure won't increase the premium. It's that if it's not controlled, the companies have certain parameters that they want the blood pressure to be under, because otherwise probably 75% of the people we talk to would be uninsurable, because everyone takes some type of a lot of people take a form of blood pressure.
And then how much money are you eligible to receive when you start to receive it? How does that work?
So it depends on what you choose when you buy the plan. When we're younger, and most people we work with, we build inflation on our policies. But we see people, trying to take a bite out of the cost of care anywhere from a benefit of, let's say, $4,000 a month, which is not a lot to pay for care in our area, all the way up to people buying $8,000 to $10,000 a month in benefits. And we even have clients of ours that have been with us for 20 plus years who have $600, $700 a day to work with today. So it really just depends on what kind of policy they bought and how that's grown over the years before they need to use the policy.
So is that what you're shopping for? How much money will I be able to receive per month? Is that the shopping parameter people look for?
Correct.
And how do I know how much I'm going to need?
People usually take a look at the area they live in. They look at what their income is. They look at if they have a pension. They look at what things will look like in the future. And a lot of people say to me, in today's dollars, in my area, it's $12,000 a month for this really nice facility, or my aunt's paying this for home care. I can cover about $6,000 to $7,000 of that right now. And I'd like to have a policy cover $4,000 to $6,000 a month just to make the family decision-making process a lot easier for us.
For X number of years. But actually, once the policy starts to pay, it pays for the rest of your life, or is there a time limit on that?
So we have a couple of companies that will allow people to have what we call unlimited benefits, not as many as we used to have, 15, 20 years ago. A lot of the plans will go anywhere from 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, and maybe 10 years of benefits. And we have a handful that'll go unlimited today, maybe a couple. That's about it.
Do people then make the calculation, I should have just saved the money rather than give it to you? I would have had 4 or 6 or 10 years of cash or something that grew in a CD?
I mean, potentially we hear that from people a lot. When you really look at it, if you put aside $50,000, $100,000, and let's say someone gets sick on the short side of things, that money has not had any opportunity to grow. And in today's environment, that's not going to last very long. Plus, when people are buying long-term care insurance, we really advise not to be trying to buy it to cover the full cost of care, because then you're talking about very significant premiums.
Well, imagine you would have Social Security and whatever other retirement benefits you have, right?
Correct.
So it's probably something you would help a customer, me, anybody, figure out how much you're going to need. You would need to know what my Social Security pay is going to be, correct, what my pension is, and then you would say, here's the shortfall.
Correct. Correct. We would look to see what your income and what guaranteed income you would have in the future, and we would try to cover the difference through insurance.
So who determines when it kicks in?
So it would really be the person who holds the policy and their doctor are going to look at it. The triggers on these plans are all universal. It's going to be neat if a person needs help with 2 of their 6 activities of daily living, and those are bathing, feeding, dressing, toileting, transferring, and maintaining continence. Or if someone had a severe cognitive impairment, and it's going to be the person's doctor that determines that.
Well, you don't need a doctor to determine the fact that my parents who are alive need help with those things. I mean, it's apparent they get help with those things. But I guess a doctor would sign off on that, and then that policy would then start to pay them.
Right. After a person met like their elimination period, and as long as they qualify for benefits, yes, then they would be able to start collecting benefits. And it really, when it comes to dementia and things like that, with that, a person's not going to get reassessed from time to time. But if someone has more of the physical ailments, the insurance companies may even want to have that person reassessed once a year just to make
physical
sure.
Physical ailments.
Yeah.
But what about cognition and dementia? Some people are physically able, but they have dementia. My dad has dementia. Mm-hmm. He's able to converse, but he needs help with things. That to me, the point is, might be more difficult to gauge, might be somewhat subjective.
Right. They would be looking at his safety, if he's a danger to himself or others. Is he a wander risk? There's a lot of different things that they look at when people have cognitive impairment. And you're right, a lot of people, we see a lot of our clients come down and they have Superman and Superwoman syndrome when the insurance companies come and assess them also, because a lot of people are very proud and don't want to admit that they're having some of these problems.
Do you work with people's financial planners or accountants or whatever?
All the time. We work with financial advisors from coast to coast. We have for about 30 years. And that's a big part of our business is working with financial advisors, because most of the ones we work with, they want to focus on building a person's portfolio, their retirement, and making sure they're secure in their future. And then they bring in people like us who are more insurance specialists to look at the marketplace and bring them the best products for their clients to look at.
Terry Savage talks about you all the time and endorses you without endorsing you. She doesn't endorse anybody, but she is an advocate for you because she trusts what you do. I say that to say this. Is there, though, a dollar amount that if I had in the bank, I wouldn't need your product because I'm essentially self-insured?
So we refer to that as self-funding. So if you're going to self-fund it, you know, we don't really have a number that we would use at times. It could be $4 to $5 million. But the bottom line is you also have to know your family and how they're going to execute your plan of care. We have a lot of very wealthy clients that their children and their families just don't make the right decisions sometimes, and the insurance makes them make the right decisions. And it's not all about the financial side of it. It's more of, you know, making sure that a person is taken care of the way they want to be taken care of, and this sort of gives your family some direction.
One last question. What's the average premium? You probably hate that question.
I hate the question, but it's a wide range. Average premium, you know, we could see people paying between $200 to $400 a month. We could see people paying on our short-term policies, you know, $30 to $50 a month, depending on their ages. But it just depends on the plans that they look at.
I thought you would be saying numbers much higher than.
Well, I was going to mention also, if we're looking at more of the hybrid plans, we could be looking at more premiums of around $8,000 to $15,000 a year for some of those policies, depending how they're structured. And remember, those premiums would end after roughly, you know, 10 or 15 years.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
On those plans.
Are any of them structured like permanent insurance plans, though? Do they carry a cash value?
With the hybrid plans, they do create some cash value and some surrender value. It's usually not a plan that people are going to go after, because that policy they need to the end.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so, right. Don't cash that one in.
Yeah, so it's not designed for that. It's designed more for long-term care protection.
It's Brian Gordon. He's the president of Gordon Associates. We just wanted you to get just a little more background on this company that you hear about sometimes on the air. Their website is bestltcplan.com, long-term care, bestltcplan.com. That's really sobering and helpful. I appreciate you coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's Brian Gordon, Gordon Associates.